Hello, ladies and gents. It's Tucker, and you are about to listen to the Tuckered Out podcast, sponsored by Queen City Grounds and Sonus Wave. So sit back, relax. If you are on a long drive, look at the road, seriously, but listen. If you are in a coffee shop, good, because that's actually where I am right now. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
What's up, everybody? So we are back with the Tuckered Out podcast, and we have a new guest. We have an amazing new guest. She is Lindsay, but I'm going to give her a little intro because I try to do intros as best as I can. I always write a cute little intro for my people.
I can't wait to hear.
It's nice. It's not. Let's see if it's Grammy worthy. We'll see what happens. So she's a graduate from Berklee College of Music, amazing singer-songwriter with tracks like Coffee at Midnight and Hormones. I've seen her perform multiple times. She even headlined places like the Evening Muse, and she's done Visual Light Theater, which is huge. She's doing Visual Light pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I believe the pod will be out before she does Visual, or sorry, after actually she does Visual Light. But ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay, what's up?
Thanks for having me.
What's up? How you doing?
How convenient that we were both here at the same time today to do a podcast spontaneously.
And you ripped up my paper. Good.
Spontaneously, Lord. Yeah.
Drink some coffee.
Yeah. These long legs need a break, you know?
That's fine.
I gotta sit down.
So one thing I appreciate about you that I just want to tell you straight up is that I've seen you perform multiple times. I've worked your shows at So Far Shows. And one thing that I just want to start off, for the people that don't know you, you're one of the nicest like artists I've ever met.
Really?
Yes, you have such a presence with you, and it's something that people, I don't even know how to describe it. I just know that when I've seen you, I've been in awe, and it's very easy to get lost in your presence and just be in the moment, and I've really needed that sometimes with music.
That's so nice.
It can be, music's one of those things, and I think you feel that, but you get into almost like a meditative state when mm-hmm. you listen to something that you like. And man, when you've gotten up on stage and the times I've seen you, it's been very nice, and I appreciate that. So I just want to say that straight off the bat.
Like, yeah.
If people see you in the future, when they kind of know who you are from the pod, it's like, that's what I've gotten from
you. Yeah.
So, but how are you doing today?
Yeah, that's so nice. I mean, I'm better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing, having a great day. But, you know, hearing something like that is... makes it even better.
Oh yeah,
I love people, so I feel like it's probably hard and complicated to be an artist that doesn't like people.
Yeah,
because being an artist requires some self-absorption.
Yeah,
so I think that it just helps a little that I actually genuinely love people and meeting new people.
Well, you are good at it, and one thing I appreciate is that at your shows you actually like sell clothes, mm-hmm. which I don't, you'll see. I actually wore one of your clothes one of the podcasts.
Oh, you did?
And good, I like good. Fit the artist that was there so well because it was a country artist and you gave me a flannel.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember the Dude, flannel we bought.
That was her flannel, Marcia, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
And I rocked that look. I like, I know she's giving a thumbs up. That, like,
I can't wait to see. I bet you looked great in it.
This is, sometimes we'll have images pop up. This is what I looked like. That's her flannel. And I look great. I don't always look great, but I looked great in that photo.
Yeah.
So I want to get into you a little bit. I want to straight up just ask, where are you from?
Yeah. So I'm from Texas. I'm from Ooh. Like a suburb of Dallas. Uh-huh. I grew up there at least from like 10 to, no, like 8 to when I left for college. So it's my hometown.
Yeah. And
my whole family is still in Texas.
They're still all there. You're the only one here on this side of
yeah.
the. Oh, wow. And so obviously I already said in the intro, you went to Berklee, but mm-hmm. before we even get to that, mm-hmm. you have an interesting fact about your life on how you started out being in this world. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that fact?
Yeah.
I know about this fact.
The oldest fact I have to give the world is that I was born in a car.
Woo. Marcia's like, okay.
Cool. Yeah. Yes.
What information? Like,
you more information?
Well, I'm curious. Like, so I wasn't. I don't think most. Well, I'm not going to say most people. You never know who.
Ricky Bobby was.
Because I don't. Tuckered Out didn't do that. But, like, what car? I remember.
It was a Chevy Blazer. Like, so I was born in 93. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what year it was. I tend to say 91 Chevy Blazer, but I don't really know what year it was.
Wow.
I was born 93. Are you 93?
Marcia's 93.
Yeah, I'm
what?
Old.
You're younger than-
I'm an old broad.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 30 now. So
you look great. I went to
vote last year, and she was like, she saw my ID, and she's like, "Oh, I was treating you like you a first time voter." I was like, "I look 18."
How do you? How is that? Like,
it's like, thank
you. Do you still get carded sometimes?
Yeah,
dude. I've not gotten carded since I was 15.
Really?
And not that I was doing that at 15.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was good. I promise. But I definitely got the okay look wise from my clerks. It's like, if you really wanted that, you're good.
Yeah, like you're fine.
The beard started.
The beard helps. I can't grow a beard, so that doesn't help me. I don't know. I think it has to do with hormones.
Oh,
which will
hormones.
Which we'll get to.
We will, but I also, so as I like to do, I like to kind of just learn interesting facts about the guests that I have on. So I really want you to tell me the story about getting on a wrong flight.
Yeah,
as a 7-year-old.
It's actually pretty laughable because this was and a little scary because it was February 2002, meaning it was like 5 months after 9/11. So you would think that airport security was like super tight.
Yeah.
But I was going to see my cousins in San Diego, leaving Dallas to San Diego, and my grandma was with me. And we, at that time, you had paper tickets. No one had apps or whatever to scan your phone. So we had our paper tickets. And it was one of those, what do you call them, like jet bridges or whatever, where they have two ticket counters that both go into the same tunnel and then you split. And we just went on the wrong one. But here's the thing.
Just you, by the way?
It was me and my grandma's, which makes it worse. Because if it was just a 7-year-old, that would make
sense.
That's
what I thought it was.
But my grandma was there too. And here's the thing. We got on the plane and there were people in our seats.
Yeah.
Obviously. So we told the flight attendant, they just put us in different seats.
Yeah.
And then they announce it. And I had never heard of Hartford, Connecticut before, but they announced, you know, we're departing for Hartford. And so I would ask my grandma, I was like, what is Hartford? And she's like, oh, it's just, you know, another city. I was like, okay. We got off the plane and the Hartford, Connecticut airport is
cute.
Significantly smaller than the San Diego airport.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we get off and my grandma's like, well, this is a lot smaller than I remember. And we're waiting for our bags for like an hour at least until finally she asks and they pull up our flight number. And I still vividly remember the not flight attendant, the airport person saying, oh, ma'am, you're in Hartford, Connecticut. So, but because of the safety issue that was being right after 9/11, we got everything refunded. We got all kinds of flight vouchers. Yeah. It was
That's
just
rare.
Like, yeah.
That's not easy in the airport, period.
Anyways.
Dang.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Took us a whole day to get then from the opposite side of the country to the
I bet that sleeping pattern was beautifully thrown off. My goodness. But man, that's... Whew. Are you scared at that point? Like,
I don't remember being
scared.
Well,
you're with family, so you're probably not
I was with
scared.
My grandma, and I think I was just so unfate. I was just like... I've always been like adventurous at heart, so I think I was like even kind of excited. I'm like, oh, what's Connecticut?
That's true. I like that. No. This is random. I wanted to get into this just because I forgot to get into it in the intro. I just want to start, or not start, but just kind of continue with like your name. So Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
So Lynsea.
Yeah.
You have had people say that wrong before.
Yes.
What has happened when people come up to you and try and they mess up?
Like, they well, they said? Yeah, I usually get Lynsea.
That's what I see.
Yeah, which I mean, that's common.
Yeah.
And that's then Lynsea is the other. They flip the E and the S or wait. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Lynsea. Yeah. Those are
they do. Oh, yeah.
So Lynsea and Lynsea.
Yep.
And I typically just say like, oh, it's just Lindsay. That's my like typical response. So I've even thought about like if I ever have a blog or if I need a new handle or something or a hashtag, it's going to be it's just Lindsay.
That's not bad. Oh, man.
But because I say that in a friendly way. But it's also like if someone calls me Lynsea or Lynsea over and over again, like whatever.
I mean, I feel like also you've said that on... like shows too. I've seen you perform multiple times now, And I don't know if you've said it, but I feel like
I typically say it's just Lindsay.
Well, but I feel like you spell it. Why do I feel like I spelled it out the last time I saw you?
I typically spell it too. Yeah. Yeah. Because people like write it down and then they can't find me because.
That's why that Instagram handle needs to be said every time. Like,
and I have my Instagram handle is just my name because I made it when Instagram first came out in, I don't know, 2010, 2009 or whatever. Yeah.
Good times.
I wasn't even trying to be strategic. It was just like, oh, I can use my name. Yeah. And then I didn't find that account until like 2 years ago. Cause my handle was like, I'm Lindsay or Lindsay Sherbin, or it was like my full name. Yeah. And then I don't know why I was looking up other handles and I found my old account that had just the Lindsay on it. I was like, well, transferring.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You could get into that account like and all that.
Yeah. I somehow hacked into it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah.
And that's your name. That's your first name.
That's my given name. Yeah. It's wow. It was to match my sister. My older sister's name is Chelsea. Spelled traditionally C-H-E-L-S-E-A.
And they just said like, you know what? Yeah. Close enough to go.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Where's the A come in though? The A's well, silent technically.
Well, Chelsea S-E-A.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then Lindsay S-E-A. So that
good
was.
Looks.
Yeah. That was the idea.
Why is Chelsea spelled with an A at the end?
I don't know. I mean, phonetically, I see like the sea, the ocean.
Yeah, but why the A? Where's the A coming from? Like, where's that sound? That's a confusing. That's
look, English is a terribly hard language.
That's why you did a song
language.
In Spanish. I get it now.
Yeah,
that's,
it was easier.
Makes sense. Okay. Man. Yeah. Well, real quick, I want to get into that real quick because you obviously you have amazing music. I don't want to talk about just your name and airports, even though that's fun. You have such an interesting sound. And one thing I really appreciate when you perform is that, and I saw your inspirations. I think like I saw Hayley Williams. I saw like Taylor Swift and I saw, there's a few other people. It was probably like 7 or 8 women on a reel on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, when I saw that, like kind of that, the caption of like, these are my inspirations. I was trying to guess immediately like, okay, who would they be? And, I feel like one question I want to ask, cause we're going to hear a performance at the end of, one of your songs, but just how did you develop your sound? I feel like that's such a interesting thing that artists are always doing because you mm-hmm. always I feel like have to explore but I don't know, you have such an interesting way of singing that it's captivating, but it's also like there has to be a story behind that or even just like a struggle that got you to that.
My voice has always been pretty unique. It's nothing that I've really worked on as far as like how I sing. If anything, my whole life I've been trying to undo my voice because vocal coaches don't like the way that I pronounce things.
But that's pop music though. The pronunciations.
Well, and so yeah, so it was either that I sing too much in my head voice or pronunciations aren't correct. But I also I grew up in church, and so I
do they shine down on that? Like,
well, I mean, not shine down necessarily, but they don't want anything that's distracting. So so
that's a compliment though.
Yeah, right. So that was a big thing most of my life. Was to me the all I wanted to do was I wanted to lead worship because yes. I grew up in church and I never got the opportunity to, so it was constantly worship leaders trying to tweak my voice or figure out how to pronounce things differently because I would say it's usually my vowels, my O's and U's, so like when I would say Jesus it would like Jesus. Come out as Jesus or something
when
out
you
of Jesus. Yeah, when I sang. So that was something that I had to kind of rewire my brain to actually appreciate about myself because I always wanted to change my voice.
Yeah.
And so when I ended up more or less leaving the church and kind of separating myself from this idea of the highest, the ultimate goal is to lead worship, and I allowed myself to just like make music that I want to make.
Yeah.
I felt like I could embrace my natural sound more. Mm. And I do, I have TMJ. So that is something that does contribute to my, TMJ is like something with your jaw. It's okay. Like your jaw locks up.
Really?
So it's something that, is why I pronounce my vowels the way that I pronounce them.
Really?
So there's,
when you're singing,
when I'm singing.
Is that with talking too?
Yeah. I think because with singing you typically open your mouth more,
yep.
And so my O's and my U's, I typically have to, it's more work for me to open my jaw more when I, wow, when I sing. So that was something that contributed to some of the sound. And then honestly, I don't know, when I started playing band in middle school and I started playing oboe and I was taught vibrato, it was almost like I could never like undo vibrato. So then my vibrato was just always there. So it, anyways, all that to say is nothing. If anything, I've been trying, I spent a lot of my life trying to undo and just make my voice more normal. And it was very empowering and freeing to find a space where I could just embrace like the uniqueness, the natural uniqueness of my voice. Man. So,
and this, do we have, can we put up a photo of you singing in church? You have to have one.
Oh, I have since I was like three. Yeah.
Bing. There it is. Yeah. She was killing it in church. Don't ever try to change that pronunciation, leaders of the church. Thank you very much.
Let's see
I didn't realize around the thing there it's are like questions around the book.
Love it.
Or the cover itself. So
it's
actually
like question roulette or
yeah,
something.
I think we should ask one on the let's see what we got.
Oh, on the cover.
On the cover. Yep. I don't even know what's on the cover. What's your favorite accent?
My favorite
besides
accent
besides Spanish.
Okay.
If that is an answer. Because you have a beautiful song in Spanish.
My favorite accent.
What is one where you hear and you're just like, oh, keep
I mean,
going.
I could listen to the French accent all day long. Honestly, French was my first love of like foreign language,
really?
But Spanish, I also fell in love with Spanish and it was just a little more practical.
Yeah.
But I go to a French conversation hour once a week and I practice.
So you teach.
Speaking.
Oh, no, you speak.
I speak a tiny, tiny bit of
you
French.
You love languages. I remember that.
I love languages.
Yeah. You're
and
a good language learner.
I could just sit. And like, I know like 20% of what everyone's talking about. I'm like, okay, so she went to the doctor, but I don't know why. And I don't know if it was good or if it was bad. Like, but I love just
funny.
Listening to them. It's such a beautiful language.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Mine would be Chinese. I think Chinese is Mandarin is like,
yeah.
Cause my sister's from China.
Oh, no way.
And my goodness, just how they, it's so pretty. Most of like. Any Asian language, I think, is like stunning
mm-hmm.
to just listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different than the rest of the world's language. And it's so like punctuational. Like, it's just so.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
but
I have no
they
idea.
Mean it, usually.
I would love to learn some Mandarin or Chinese or.
I'm learning sign language right now.
You are?
A little bit, yeah. I love sign language.
I want to learn every language. It's so hard to narrow it down.
Have your parents told you something as an adult they kept from you as a child? That's a crazy good question.
That they kept from me as a child.
Is there something that shocked you older? Like, a simple answer would be Santa Claus, but like...
Right.
Which, who's real, by the way.
Yes, he's definitely real.
But there's
no doubt
help.
About that.
The parents are helpers. Anyway,
the
is there something that like you were hit with?
There's got to be something.
I'm trying to think of one. I know one that I was hit with.
Okay, maybe that'll spawn.
Well, one thing that I thought was super interesting, and I'm going to just straight up say, like, so, and I say this because it's just interesting, and it's something that I love that I found out, and my reaction to it was like, oh my gosh, awesome.
Yeah.
Was when my mom told me, because we have a lot of family friends that are all in North Carolina, but we gather once a year sometimes at this lake event that's in honor of my dad who passed away.
Okay.
So over 150 people go to
cool.
this thing. So there's a lot of personalities that go that I
that's
grew
amazing.
Up with when I was like 1 year old. And, you know, a few of them are like gay or lesbian.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, my mom didn't. She said, when you get older, you're going to learn about these people in just different ways. And I didn't know what that meant. And then when I started to learn about kind of what that meant, like
yeah.
just about the LGBTQ and all that and above, she finally told me like who was gay in the group. And I remember like loving them so much more. Cause
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my, like that's so
you
cool.
Like you feel like you actually have like can connect with them on a deeper
well, yeah.
level
and
understand
just, like,
them.
That's so cool. Like it was yeah. something I started to embrace when I really started to embrace differences and how special like
mm-hmm.
differences are, like just learning about someone and being like, wow, that's like
yeah.
something you like. Like even though I like, I'm learning. I may not exactly go down the route of a person like that. I'm still like in awe of that, and I love that they.
Well,
like,
it's authenticity.
That,
like
yeah.
being able to connect with people on an authentic level, I think is, It's very powerful. So when someone's like being real with you, or you know you're getting the authentic version and they're not holding anything back, that's what I want in relationships. So
yeah,
I imagine that was like, it was just cool to be able to like know them better and have a more like real conversation.
You got one?
I honestly can't think of it. I feel like there is something. The things that I feel like I'm not remembering are the things that like as an adult, you're like, wait, how have I gone my entire life without knowing like a word or something? Like an example would be this isn't me, but my one of my therapists the other day shared a story about how when she was in college, she was in her dorm and her dad came to help move stuff or something. And she was like, oh, and by the way, dad, the light switch is broken. And he was like, what do you mean the light switch is broken? He's like, well, the bulb won't turn on anymore. He's like, oh, you have to change the bulb. And she was like, oh, I never knew that. Like, how was I supposed to know to change the bulb?
You know what, though? Those are good, funny moments.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've seen my mother put her phone number into the microwave before for about 2 minutes straight. Yeah. And didn't know why. Not that it was just a brain fart moment. But
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know there's things like that for me I'm just not thinking of where it's like, as an adult, I've been like, the lights have always turned on.
Yeah.
So I've just like never had to question that the bulb actually comes out and you have to change it. You know, there's got to be things like that I've been like, Mom, why don't you like teach me?
Why do the clothes not smell good when they come out? You're supposed to put
You're supposed to put stuff in the washing machine.
Tide Pods in there. Oh.
Yeah.
This is a good last question.
Okay.
What embarrasses you instantly?
Ooh. What embarrasses me? I get embarrassed very easily. So I feel like, I think
it's
just
a small thing where it's like,
let me think. Honestly, there was this one. Well, if someone brings up this moment that I will share. So it's really more of like the most embarrassing moment,
okay.
But whatever. But I'm this down. Will instantly, like it's the first thing that pops into my mind. Mm. So I used to work at a church and we had this like large team meeting and it's a big church. So the pastor's like basically a celebrity or whatever.
Ah.
And they pulled me up to do like a round of questions similar to this. Be like, what's your favorite this? What instrument do you play? Whatever. And one of the questions was, what other job do you want on staff? Like other than your own? At the time I was managing the record label. So
Elevation,
I didn't,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't necessarily want any other job and I didn't want to be vulnerable in front of the whole staff that I wanted to be a worship leader. So I was like, I can't be honest. So I was scanning the room and I locked eyes with the pastor's wife and I was like, oh, you know what? She writes books. She like leads Bible studies. She like does cool stuff, leadership things. So I was just like, okay, Holly. And the pastor's wife. And I wasn't thinking anything about how weird that would sound.
You said Holly?
I said Holly, I'll take her job. And the whole staff just died. And ooh. I didn't realize how weird it was in the moment to say that my dream job would be to be the pastor's wife. So everyone on staff just like would never let me live it down. It was so embarrassing. And I never got to correct myself. I never got to, because I didn't realize it until I was like back at work or whatever. It was so embarrassing.
Hey guys, thank you so much for watching the podcast. And thank you to our sponsor, Queen City Grounds, for providing the location. You can find a perfect blend of coffee, cuisine, and entertainment while you are here. It is in-house made coffee. There is brunch and dinner options. There is a full bar and amazing live events. So come check it out and stay grounded. Thank you to Sonorous Wave for powering this podcast. Sonorous Wave is an amazing music collective based here in Charlotte. Their slogan is artistry versus the algorithm, and they are so good at putting all events into a music setting, and they kill it. They are amazing with every event they are in association with, so check them out. Okay, so one thing that I've noticed that I want to just ask you about is the period of life where COVID happened, because you took a pause from music. Tell me about how important that was and like what you got from that time, because obviously the world went through one of the craziest things in history. It was tough for everyone, But yeah, how did that bump up your music interests? Because a lot of stuff happened during that time, not even just COVID, but losses too.
I mean, it was monumental because it was the time period where I really, I started meditating. I started.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it was. What I mean, a lot of people, insight meditation. So it's non-religious. It's really just,
like box breathing. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's breathing techniques, things like that. But the idea is that you're just creating space to be, to create awareness of what is happening in your brain. So you're creating a practice to become aware of the thoughts that are in your mind, because everything comes from a thought. Feelings stem from thoughts, you know, so it really helps you be more aware of like what's happening internally. So that inner work was, I mean, it was the foundation of me being, being able to be an artist, and to create disciplines and to have the like confidence to go back into music again.
Yeah. Man. And like, well, one thing I appreciate about your work is that, so you had a lot, you took a pause cause it was needed to kind of just, you know, reset. Mm-hmm. And then when you came back, you had a goal. And I love the thought of the goal, because the goal is so disciplined, but it's like, it's what people have to do if they want to make it in music, almost. Like, they have to hunker down, they have to put stuff out, they have to, you know, if they're trying to be a performing artist, they need to perform that stuff. And one thing, the goal that you had, which you ended up accomplishing, is that you made, in 2023, you made like 7-8 songs every month, right?
Well, so I released a song a month.
Or not that many a month, but
I released a song a month, and then I also was writing, I tried to write and do a new demo like every week.
Ooh.
And so, the producer I was working with, once we kind of got more into the sync world, then those demos every week became like, okay, we're going to pitch to sync every week. And so it just kind of kept developing. But yeah, I think that the idea really came from like, okay, if I do a song every week, one of them will blow up. Mm-hmm. And then the goal kind of evolved into like, oh, I'm not doing this to blow up necessarily. Yeah. I'm doing this to like get to know what I want out of it. And I think that was really important, because you don't know what you want to do as an artist, or how you want to do it, or what makes you special, what you enjoy, how you're going to create something that's worth listening to until you try a lot of different things, until you get those like 10,000 hours under your belt. So I think it really got me a lot of experience, on top of obviously like building some discipline. Mm. But I was saying for years, during that gap period, I was like, I've got to figure out how music fits into my life. That was like whenever I was setting New Year's resolutions, it was, how does music fit into my life? And a year would go by and I wouldn't have any clarity, and another year would go by and I wouldn't have any clarity. So it was really important to me to figure out where does music fit in, and what does that look like? And I just didn't know. So I tried performing, I tried releasing, I tried writing, I tried social media, silly things, you know, like all the different things.
Yeah. And then, well, so the first song you came out with, I believe, was Coffee at Midnight, or at least that was in the first two.
In 2019. Yeah.
How did that inspiration come along? Because that's actually, that's my second favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
Third is Hormones, but you did an acoustic of, is it Waking Up?
Waiting Up? Up's your favorite?
Yes.
Honestly, means a lot, because that's like
here's
my...
Waiting Up, by the way. Ding. Like, yes.
I love it. Waiting Up 100%. Is like my personal favorite. It's always going to be like the closet favorite for me. Yeah?
That's a great darn song. Like, and I love the stuff that you're now coming... I mean, Hormones is fantastic. That
Thank
came
you.
Out... in August 16th, I think. Fantastic song, and I'm happy like I got to see it kind of live. But give us an insight of like what those weeks, like how disciplined were you, and like how easy or hard was it to crank out those songs? Give us like an insight of what those like like 8 months looked like.
It was
the process, because before I even get into it, one thing I appreciate about you, and if you guys follow Lindsay, which y'all should, you have like your schedules on Instagram posts,
my to-do
and
list,
I'm like, yes, because I do that on my on my calendar on my iPhone.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why don't more people do this? I don't see like so.
Yeah,
respect. Here's one of the schedules. Ding, Instagram. But
I, yeah. Well, this, the to-do list and schedules, like sharing those as posts, it almost felt like more like accountability. Like, oh, I'm telling everyone I'm doing this, so I have to do it.
It was respect.
And I wanted to be able to look back and be like, a year from now, look back at a post and be like, oh, how, like, a little nostalgic, like, oh, I was working on releasing hormones or something. Yeah. So kind of like little timestamps in my music career.
Yeah.
Respect,
by the way. I saw one also, it said like, buy the crew lunch. So you also have such a kind of heart. I love that. I was like, oh,
it's like have to do all, I mean, every little thing.
I love that. But yeah, those 8 months of the writing in 2023.
Yeah. So I would not recommend it. It was so much work. I would recommend it only if you know what you're getting yourself into. I feel like I was a little naive on how much work. Though. Well, thank you. And I feel like I have had a great support system with Graham being my producer. My first task in January when I made that goal was, okay, I have to find a producer. And it has to be someone who can like, is scheduled, is organized, because a lot of creatives want to kind of work on their own schedule, be a little more fluid. And I just needed someone that like would be regimented enough to do this lofty goal.
Yeah.
So I had Graham as a support system, which was really helpful. I think doing it alone was one of the things that I learned that I personally just can't do. Like, I have to delegate. I have to pay people to do things. I can't take it all on myself. I can't carry it.
Like, that's better for the goal. I mean,
it is, because you have accountability. If you decide to stop doing it, then it affects all these other people that also have a stake in it, you know?
That's why Marcia's here. That's why March is here, Queen.
Support is everything.
Facts.
Yeah. So not doing it alone was one of the first things that I realized was huge in giving me the confidence and giving me like permission and just to keep me going. But so I was working full time at that time, and I was in a management position managing a lot of people. It was highly social. It was commuting in and out.
It was
very draining, but I protected my time by saying Fridays. So I had my Fridays and Saturdays were my 2 days off. And I made sure my husband knew like Fridays are my music day. Mm. So really like I have one day, I have Saturdays to do house stuff and what relationships and whatever. Mm. So my relationships definitely suffered. My house suffered, not as clean as it would have been otherwise, but I just told myself Fridays are my music day. And what's hard about that is when you realize that you need a break, like you have to prioritize your mental health and your physical health. When I feel like I'm getting sick, that means my Fridays have to be a recovery day. Like it's hard. And to give yourself the grace to know that like this Fridays were music days, but ultimately the most important thing is my mental health, my marriage, my, you know, things like that. That was something I had to learn too, 'cause I was pushing myself way too hard. But to answer your question, every Friday I would go to Graham's or to another producer that the three of us worked together. And I would either have like a voice memo or notes or an old demo, or we would have a sync pitch, saying, you know, they want a folk song about with water words incorporated or whatever.
That's
fun. And then we would write and we would track a demo. And we would do that every Friday, essentially.
Man. And well, I have a question. When it comes to you releasing a song every month, or at least that was the goal when it happened.
Yeah.
Like, I find, because I'm a writer too, I find myself being so critical of myself. But if I have just fun with it, it flows. Like, I can write a song in a day if I just let it flow.
Yeah.
Meaning, I just write. And if something comes out of it good, cool. If something doesn't, that's okay. But when you give yourself that type of pressure, was that hard to sometimes release that quickly?
I think when it came to sync writing, where it had to be a specific sound and there was just, it had to be way more specific.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you create that, by the way? Like, was that a goal to sync write?
No, it just kind of like spontaneously happened.
That's cool. And that gives you like a topic kind of, or just like.
Yeah. Name? I mean, we were writing based on pitches. Now if I do anything for sync, it's just like Hormones is a song I made and I'm pitching it to sing. So I do it backwards now because I felt like if I only have one day to write, I want to be writing something that is like pushing my artistry forward and helping me develop my artistry rather than just like a business venture. And
and you like it.
I love writing, but I think for me, no, I didn't. That kind of pressure I think was good for me.
That's good.
I think it, and as I was doing it more and more, it's just like that muscle gets so strong that you just kind of like jump back in the next week and you're like, okay, this was another thing I wanted to write about. And you find the people you're compatible with. So I almost exclusively only write with Graham because we just kind of have a thing going. And we know there's a trust there.
Not Sage.
Yeah, well, I haven't written with Sage
this
yet.
Is Sage, by the way.
Yeah, no, we love Sage. I do want to write with Sage. We just haven't had the opportunity to. I haven't written a lot with anyone this year because I've been performing a lot, and I've been developing new song ideas that I now need to take to co-write. So,
just out of curiosity, what is like a feeling or a situation that you're writing about right now? You don't have to spoil.
Yeah.
But like, okay. Like Hormones, by the way, amazing. Here's Hormones, but like, what else?
I have, I've started writing more around similar things like with Hormones, where it's a topic that is, sort of metaphorical. So rather than like an honest love song like Coffee at Midnight or Waiting Up, where it's like that came out of feeling very emotional.
Yes.
I really like taking something like a phrase, like Sixth Sense is something. Yeah, yeah. And then like figuring out how it's like metaphorical. So there's a song I'm working on right now that I want to be like a ballad, a heartbreak song that's about like kind of the idea of like seeing dead people. Like I have a sixth sense, but
you started to write but that's how I write.
Yeah I love exciting. Some like metaphorical.
Dude,
like
that stuff is
clever
fun.
Writing yeah,
like I just to give a quick example of that, because I am writing a song right now called Power Outage, and it's about like a guy that loses interest in a girl because the girl has stuff that she still has to get over from another relationship that she hasn't.
Yeah,
so the ultimate thing is like the guy's like, well, consider this a power outage. All the sparks we had, just forget about it.
Oh, cute. Like, I love it.
The metaphorical stuff. Like, I was talking in a past interview with John. Go watch it. We talked about the double entendres and how fun those are to kind of incorporate into songs. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel
you get
on
it.
That.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, we're going to do a Would You Rather. I love doing this with guests just because I don't know. If there's something we disagree on, we can talk about it or something. But funny little
lighthearted
stuff,
like
random stuff. All right. Would you rather be seated on a plane next to a screaming baby or someone with bad body odor?
Screaming baby.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Nope.
I have such a keen sense of smell.
That sixth sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, screaming baby all day. I feel more empathy maybe because a screaming baby is, you know.
Body odor is just different.
Yeah. I agree.
Would you rather face the Grim Reaper or Freddy Krueger?
Ooh.
I feel like the Grim Reaper wouldn't be as mean. I feel like it would just...
Yeah.
It wouldn't talk and
it would
get
haunt
it over
me.
With.
I
don't mess with Freddy. No.
I think Grim Reaper, yes.
I don't mess with things that stalk first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a bunch of the... You know how movies do it? Like, they'll just create characters that kind of wait a long time and then do the kill.
Yeah, no, that creeps me out.
Like Jason, he'll just kill.
But Grim Reaper kind of stalks, right? Because doesn't he? Well, look, I don't watch scary things very. I'm not a scary person.
Even though I love haunted houses, weird. I know.
That's I would never. But so the Grim Reaper just kind of like stands there, right, and warns you that like you're going to die, right?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
I think
it's doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
he doesn't.
Fine with
I don't think he like touches you.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I don't need him to. Nope. Would you rather enter a secret portal to an alternate universe or a secret door to an afterlife? Afterlife for sure.
I think alternate universe. I don't know what the afterlife's going to be like.
But the alternate universe could be anything. That makes me nervous straight off the bat.
Well, afterlife, like, could be anything. We don't know. It's all belief based.
The afterlife, though, because what if you're? Both could be anything. But my brain is a Marvel brain. I'm a Marvel fan. I would go to like Valhalla from like the Thor movies, because that's like the afterlife of the Odin Thor mythology.
So you get to choose the afterlife that you go into.
I mean, we can add that in there.
Okay, because if I'm getting to choose the alternate universe, then I would still.
I'm wondering if you enter that afterlife, you're in the afterlife and you're done. But entering a portal into an alternate universe, both of these sound like Marvel situations.
I'm sticking to my answer, alternate universe.
I think I saw Doctor Strange, and when he went through some of those universes, I felt sick to my stomach because they looked so too much. I don't know.
That's true. But some of the afterlife options.
The afterlife theories are pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I guess I can go over to the alternate. But all right. Would you rather be a private detective or a gossip columnist?
Columnist?
Yeah, I can't pronounce that word. I definitely can't be a gossip because I don't like gossip. I can't do gossip.
I feel like I would totally be I could do a gossip columnist only because
on what though?
Well, I'm watching Sex and the City right now, yeah. And she has her like sex column, you know. Yeah. I'm like, I would talk about I can talk about anything.
Yeah.
So I feel it's essentially what we're doing, like just talking about.
Okay.
Could literally be anything. It could be.
But it's a gossip, so you technically be shitting on like anything.
Well, no. Does gossip imply?
You're right. It doesn't. But that's a part of it, though, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
You have to dislike something.
Well, couldn't it be like a gossip column about like animals or something? Because then it's like I'm not talking. If I talk bad about like the lion eating the poor giraffe,
gonna have a giant lion. The lion lovers are going to come after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's true. I'll get some hate.
What did I say? Private detective for sure.
Private detective feels so stressful.
I don't know. I think it would be kind of cool.
Okay.
Would you rather play Spin the Bottle or Truth or Dare every day?
Spin the Bottle. I would rather kiss people than have to like run around the block naked or something.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I could do Kiss the Bottle every day.
Really?
Because I do like, I'm a big fan of Yes Theory. I've talked about them on the show before. I eventually like want them to sponsor the show. Here they are. Here's their logo. I'm going to keep calling them out. But like, I don't mind doing a dare. I think I'm not going to, I mean, this isn't the movie Nerve. I'm not going to do a dare or what's that movie? Truth or the horror movie where it's like
I did not see it.
Oh my god!
See,
gosh.
You said you don't like scary things. You go to haunted house and you do the horror movies.
I have interest in the storylines, but I can't watch some of them because I don't have control of those creatures or people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think that'd be it. Truth or Dare. I could do because I'm an open book too. Truth, I could tell you whatever. I just can't. I don't know.
Okay,
man.
That's. I mean,
what's that?
Agree to disagree
disease or kissing? Sickness?
I know mono.
I can't get near that.
I know.
No.
I mean, I would have to put an asterisk of like you must not have any diseases.
But that's tough because the bottle spin the bottle doesn't always work that way.
That's true.
All right, last one. Let's see. Would you rather live in a cabin deep in the swamp or a treehouse in the jungle?
Jungle. I don't think I could do swamp.
My first thought. Did you ever watch Phineas and Ferb?
I did, but I don't. I won't be able to remember.
Do you remember the treehouse episode where they like had giant treehouses that turned into like they fought each other? Two treehouses.
No, I don't think so.
That look of the treehouse where it was just. I don't know why I love treehouses.
I love treehouses.
If that's a thing somewhere, like where I can full on a giant house. I'm talking a giant house mm-hmm. and like. Just in the trees. It sounds so cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I could do a cabin deep in the swamp.
The
of all
swamp.
Places.
I mean, I think of like Shrek.
Like
if it's
Ross
like a Shrek, if it's the Shrek swamp, then yeah, I'll do it. But I don't think any real life swamps are.
It has a porta potty. I can't.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh.
Well, let's do one more just for fun. How about you do one? Do anything. Let's see.
Okay.
Whatever you got. We'll end it on that.
Wait.
That's gonna be a crazy one.
Oh my gosh, these are so good.
They're so good. I've gotten into fights over this book, not fist fights, but
okay.
Fights.
Okay. Would you rather eat 5 of the hottest peppers in the world, or a stew made with crickets and grubworms?
It depends on how you how hard you hide the grub worms and the crickets.
Oh, it's like visible?
Well, no. I mean, what if you... Because I've eaten stuff that like that I didn't know was a certain thing. And I was like, that wasn't that bad. If you don't know, I probably would do the 5 hottest peppers just because I love hot ones, and I'd be okay. I'd see what happens.
Okay. I
don't know if that's a smart answer.
Oh God, I think I would, as long as I know the crickets and grub worms aren't like poisonous to the human body. But 5 hottest peppers in the world are like almost poisonous to your body. Like you,
no, they are.
you would have severe stomach trouble after that. I don't want to deal with that, so I'll eat the crickets and grub worms. They probably have vitamins in them or something.
The last part of the podcast that I just like to do is I like to kind of say how the artist has inspired me and what I've just noticed about them that I really appreciate. And I just want to start real quick with your presence. One thing that I work for a company that just allows me to see so many different artists every time I do a concert for the company. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I appreciate about you that it's obvious around the rest of the crew as well, is whenever we see that you're performing, it's like you're on the schedule to perform like the night, we all are very excited because we...
No way.
Like, oh, very much so. Because we know, first of all, that it's going to be a good show, obviously, because you're incredibly talented. But we also know that you're going to be very just easy and easygoing and just very appreciative of the moment. Because, as you know, like just being able to show your craft off and get paid for it. But like your craft off is such a special thing. And it's not always easy with like being an artist that isn't, you know, making the biggest bank. Like you're not, sadly, yet, but you will get like, you know, getting that $1 million deal yet. But so it's just really appreciative. And you're so good at connecting with the audience. And one thing I also appreciate is that even after shows, you are so good at just giving people your attention. Mm. I've noticed that. I've bought something from you with the flannel. Thank you.
Yes.
But ultimately, I've just noticed how you're very quick to make sure you give presence to the person you're talking to, which is something, you know, it's such a simple thing. But in this day and age, like with social media, it's not always easy for people to do that. So when you do that, and I notice it and other people notice it too, we're very just in awe and very appreciative of that, of your presence.
Yeah.
So I think you should
Thanks
know that.
Thanks for saying that.
And
yeah.
Also just your music is very different and it's very easy for me to see that like you're probably going to pop off, even though like that's not fully the goal, but like you want people to see your creativity.
No, I mean, yeah.
I think it's going to happen. And Thank I also you. Just, I don't know. I was like this getting to interview you has like, I quickly was like, yes, I want to interview Lindsay. She would be so fun to interview and just open up. I know she'd open up to me about just whatever is happening in her life, but also just like interesting stories. And when I get that excited, I just am very happy to be in the presence of that person. So thank you for that too.
No, thank you.
Last thing is there anything coming up? This pod's not going to come out until like November maybe, but like what's coming up for you? Like, I know you got performances coming up, but anything released?
So Hormones came out in August. I'm doing a Hormones EP that will come out in about a month.
How many songs?
So it should be out on here. Yeah. So it'll have the original version. It'll have Spanish version and French version, an acoustic version that I sing in all three languages.
Yeah. Oh,
and then it will have two music videos on it too. So one music video for the original version and then one music video for the acoustic version that we tracked live. We tracked and filmed live. So if you're an Apple Music person, you can watch the videos on Apple Music. That's the plan. So we're in the mixing phases right now. We're almost done, about to submit it to mastering, and then it'll be out for the world. So that's it for now. And then I'm going to spend the rest of the year doing a writing retreat to finish hopefully what will be one or two EPs next year, which would be my first like collection of I've only done singles up to this point.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm so excited for you, girl. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on
you.
The show.
Yes,
we will be seeing you in concert very soon, ladies and gentlemen. Lindsay, please check her out. What is your handle, by the way?
At Lindsay
LYNSEA. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for watching this episode. I'll see you next time.